about 1/1000th of an inch. By that time, it will be 17,769,884 miles high. So the power of multiplication really works. If I'm just ministering, then when I quit, the ministry quits. But if I'm reproducing, if I'm making disciples, then when I quit, those disciples are disciple makers. They'll continue right on. We spent 3.5 years in New Zealand, and some of the people that we invested our lives in are still carrying on. And it's almost like we have a fraction of the action. Well, the laborers are few. Have you seen it? Do you believe it? Let's go to the next point. It says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray. What you believe about this phrase will determine your prayer life. When's the last time you got down on your knees and literally agonized before God in prayer for one of your lost friends? I have to confess, of all these points, this is the one that I don't believe. My wife believes it. She's been praying faithfully for one of our neighbors that we used to live next door to down in New Zealand. And I quit praying for the guy a long time ago. He's a known atheist. He's on record as an atheist. And I quit praying for him a long time ago, to my shame. But my wife just keeps on praying for him every day. And she kind of motivates me. I pray for him every now and then now. And after preaching this sermon and telling you this, I may start praying for him a little more often. But what you believe about this, if we should ask the Lord of the harvest, it'll have a lot to do with our prayer life. Have you seen that? Do you believe it? Well, look at the next point. It says, to send out workers into his harvest field. Do we believe that God will send out workers in his harvest field? Now, what it means to me is if God is going to send out a worker, that worker will be able to accomplish the job. Because God would not send out somebody who couldn't do anything. And God has already gone on record that he promises that whatever he asks us to do, he'll give us everything we need to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. In other words, he just wants us to be moving and sort of willing, and he will actually do it through us. So he's given us this great commission, and he hopes that we'll do something about it. Now let me see if I can put this up here. I bet you can't read that, can you? It's kind of twisted and angly. Let me read it to you. This is an open letter. It said, Dear Christians, I have been authorized by God to give you this message. You are to go to all people everywhere and call them to become my disciples. You are to baptize them and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. Don't forget, I will be with you always to help you, even to the end of the world. I will never forsake you because I love you. Please don't forsake me with all my love, Jesus Christ. All right? Now here's the reply from the Christians. Our response? Dear Jesus Christ. Should I wiggle on this thing a little bit? It's just a little bit weak. Okay. Dear Jesus Christ, we acknowledge receipt of your memo. Your proposal is both interesting and challenging. However, due to a shortage of personnel as well as several other financial and personal obligations, we do not feel that we can give proper emphasis to your challenge at this time. A committee has been appointed to study the plan and its feasibility. We should have a report to bring to our congregation sometime in the future. You may rest assured that we will give our careful consideration and our boards will think about it for some future action. We appreciate your offer to serve as our resource person, and should we care to undertake this project sometime later, we will be in touch. Cordially, the Christians. Now, I don't know what our response is to the Great Commission. I don't think it's that. From just what I've seen and felt, and just the fire and eyes around here in Anchorage, I don't think that letter ever came from Anchorage. I think what we've got here in Anchorage is this ready response to the command of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples, and He will give us what we need. Have you seen it? Do you believe it? Well, let me tell you one more point, and this comes from some other place in the Bible, and I'm just going to tell you about it. You'll have it in your notes where this is, but this is, the harvest is urgent. There is a sense of urgency in the harvest. And I wonder if we believe that. Jesus said in John 4:35, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Matthew 13, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. One night about 9 o'clock, a friend of mine called me and said, I would like for you to go to the hospital and visit this man who is going to have an operation in the morning. As far as we know, he's not a Christian. He's never gone to church. And I said, well, I don't know, I'm pretty tired. And he said, well, don't feel like you need to go, but if you'd like to go, you can go. And so I didn't want to go, and I went in there and I got in bed, and I couldn't leave it alone. You know, it's one of those things you just can't ignore. So I got up, put my clothes on, went down to the hospital about 9:30. And I got there and I went in to see this fellow, and all his family was there. They'd already given him the sedative for the night. His name is Phil. And he didn't know me from the bar of soap. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But I just knocked on the door and said, I'm a friend of Jay, and Jay asked me to come down here and see you. Because Jay and I have been doing some Bible study together, and we've really enjoyed it so much, and he thought it might be good for me just to come down here and meet you and maybe just, get to know you a little bit. So he said, well, have a seat. And he was kind of going to sleep, and I could see that, and I brought my Four Steps to Peace with God in my pocket, you know, but I could see he was going to sleep, and I talked for a few minutes, and I just didn't want to be rude to try to share the gospel with this man while he was trying to fight going to sleep. So I said, well, look, I'd like to come back and visit with you sometime when, you know, you're more alert. And he and his wife both said, oh, please do. Yeah, we'd love to see you again. So I started leaving. I said, would you mind if I pray for you first before I leave? And they said, no, please do. So I prayed. And in my prayer, I tried to share the gospel the best I could in my prayer. So I went back the next day and I got a hold of another booklet I was going to share with him, and I kind of tried to keep track of how he was getting along in his operation. And the next day after that, I got up and I was helping my son fold the papers about 4 o'clock in the morning, and there was this man's picture on the front page of the paper. He died. Never came out of that coma. Went into the operation, went into a coma, never came out and died. Now I went to the funeral. I didn't know him. I didn't know anybody. I just went to the funeral and sat in the back, and here was this preacher up there trying to figure out something to say about a man who'd never been in church. Not a bad man. Politician, judge, very respected, just didn't know Jesus. Well, I don't know, but that, I don't know what your theology is, and I don't know what my theology is either for sure. I don't believe God will hold me responsible for the fact that He may or may not have accepted or rejected Jesus Christ. But I do know that when God gives us an opportunity, we really need to do something about it. Because we never know how urgent the harvest is. Do you believe it's urgent? Well, I got two more points, and I'm already 2 minutes over time. So let me just read these to you. What are we waiting for? I've heard people say, well, I need more training. Somebody else says, there'll be a better time later on. Or this fellow's not interested. Or someone needs to tell me what to do. Or the gospel is just too personal. Or I don't really know anyone to witness to. All my friends are Christians. You know, we watch Christian television and read Christian books and listen to Christian music and brush our teeth with Christian toothpaste. And, you know, you get so locked in with Christians, sometimes you really don't know any non-Christians. Isn't that right? Yeah. Well, I think we ought not to keep on waiting. I think we ought to get with it. One time I wanted to plant a fruit tree in my backyard, some fruit trees, so I went to the nursery, had it all picked out, and I said, now when do I get my pears off this tree? He said, well, First year, a little blossom. Second year, some small fruit. But by the third year, you should get some good fruit. I said, 3 years? I can't wait that long. So I did not buy the fruit trees. 8 years later, I was still living in a house with no fruit trees. So sometimes we need to just get rolling. Now, what do we need to get going and keep going? I got five things here. First of all, we need a heart for God. That's your quiet time. There's a workshop, and if you feel like your heart is not really set on what God has set on, get to that workshop and do what the man tells you to. Second is a heart for the Word, a heart for God's Word. And honestly, I'm not up here to sell scripture memory, packets or anything like that. But I've looked around, and the men I know who are having an effective ministry, like John Repass and Gene Ward and Virgil Coffey and these other guys, are involved in scripture memory in some way or another. So when something comes up, they've got something from God's Word, not just their own opinion, to share. I heard a man just the other day witnessing, and he was floundering so bad, and he could have just opened the Bible and solved it just like that. Just didn't know where to go. Third thing we need is a peer group. A group of guys like us that can affirm us and encourage us and kind of keep us going. Because we need every one of us, or some part of the harvest won't get picked. We need every laborer, or some part of the harvest won't get picked. And the fourth thing, we need to concentrate on reaching out to the secular men and women of Anchorage, Alaska. And maybe we need to rearrange our priorities in order to give availability to do this big job. Let's get started. I'm ready. I think it's out there. The woods are full of them. People are waiting, if we'll just tell. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and pray that we would really believe what you've said here about the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.